Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, I know, it's exciting. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your abundance. We thank you for the gift of your providence. We thank you for the gift of our confusion, for the gift of stumbling through, often with more questions than answers. Because we know, O God, that every one of those questions is an opportunity to find you again and again. We thank you for the gift of this word and for the gift of this community. And especially for the gift of Jesus. Now may you put into my mouth the words you would have me speak, and take from my mouth those you would not. Amen. So for folks who have heard me talk about the Gospels, I've said this often, that when we talk about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we talk about the order that they were written in, Mark, then Matthew and Luke, their audiences. And I will often say, and John is kind of its own thing. And this text this week is one that has got me convinced of that more than most texts. Because I will confess to you, or maybe confess in sort of the share with you kind of sense, that I am still left with more questions than I have answers about the content of this text. Now, there are a number of things that just sort of raise some questions for me, and I'm just going to kind of go through a couple of them. One is the distance, that they're about 100 yards off the shore, but they hear Jesus, so they're close enough to hear him, but they don't see him, so they don't know that it's him. Second is the curious notion of the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias is actually only mentioned twice in the Gospels. It's mentioned here, and then it's mentioned in chapter 6, just before the feeding of 5,000. The Sea of Tiberias is also the Sea of Galilee. It's just another name for it. And yet it's curious that then they mention that one of the disciples is from Galilee, yet this is the Sea of Tiberias. And then there's the curious thing of Peter and his excitement, which I love, I love how jubilant he is. I love that it cracks me up every time I read this, that he's naked in the boat. And then he gets in. But why does he get dressed before he gets in the water? Why is he naked on the boat? Maybe fishermen would, maybe they'd been fishing all night, right? So it was hot, like that, okay. But it's an interesting detail to include. And then there's the thing with the 153 fish. And I will say that this is the thing that confounds me the most. Now, throughout the Gospel of John, there are different points when there is a very specific number that is mentioned. In the second gospel, or in the second chapter, when Jesus turns the water into wine, there's a very specific amount of wine that is created. And there are different points throughout the gospel where things are just specified in a particular way that it's like, why is that detail in there? And this week, it was something that really caught me. And as I looked, I looked up and researched different, what did different scholars say about it? And it's one of those where I'm like, I don't know that we really know this. You know, some scholars said, well, it was an indication of the number of nations. And that was an indication, sort of a number. And, or it was an indication, I saw one that literally said, that was the number of identified fish species that they knew at that time. And I'm like, that feels like kind of a stretch to me. It feels like kind of a stretch. And I say all of that because I think it's really helpful to identify sometimes that I think that there are these different messages that Scripture is offering us, these things that are hiding in plain sight, that maybe we don't yet have the knowledge or the language to really unpack. It could be that this 153 references something that we don't actually have the understanding of yet. I just want to toss that out there. I want to toss out the gift of uncertainty. I want to toss out the gift of saying, I don't actually know what this means. And I want to offer to you, as somebody who spends a great deal of time in the Word, that it is an absolute gift to say, I do not understand what this means. It is one of the greatest gifts of our life, I think, that we can offer ourselves, to wrestle with Scripture. To look at a text and say, I don't understand this. I don't understand how God is acting in this way. I don't understand how people are acting in this way. I think it is one of the greatest gifts that we can have to challenge things, to ask those questions. And yet, I think also that it would be irresponsible of me this morning to say, all right, we're done. We got more questions. Questions and answers. Because I do think that there is a great deal that can be offered to us in this text. I think at the beginning, the idea that the disciples can hear but not see Jesus is a play. This is now the third time Jesus has appeared to them. And again, they don't see him. They still don't see him. And yet what's interesting is after they catch these 153 fish, they do. So whatever it is in these 153 fish, after they go on shore, they say, now they don't need to explain anymore. It's very clear that they know that this is Jesus. The writer says that. And so whatever it is, this 153 fish, this huge, abundant load that they have brought onto the boat, there is something that happens in that moment. And whatever it is that happens for them, whatever it is that, that moment signifies, that number signifies, what it represents here is God's abundance above and beyond that which we can expect or look for. The disciples had spent the entire night catching nothing. So the stranger that comes along says, try something new. And they're like, okay, we'll try something new. I think about how tired they must have been, being out on the boat all night, trying to catch fish, exhausted. And then a stranger, again, try something else. When I read it like this, I wonder if they were almost a little exasperated. You know, when you're at that point, and you're like, I don't get you. We got nothing. We got nothing. Somebody says, try something new. And it is almost like the silliest idea that you could imagine, because why would there be more fish on this side of the boat than on that side of the boat? We're in the same sea. Fine, we'll do it. Maybe just to show you that it's not going to work. But wouldn't you know? Wouldn't you know? Pull in so many fish that they can't lift it up into the boat. I did look up what kind of fish it may be, and I am blanking on it right now. Sorry, I don't have a script for that. But it was a fish that's about this size and would have weighed, essentially this would have been about 800 pounds, 750, 800 pounds in the net, right? So they're trying to pull it up, right? But they can't do it. Then they get to shore and they're able to pull it up there. So there is this abundance, and the net that provides, the net that holds the abundance. Again, as the last time the Sea of Tiberias was mentioned, was the feeding of 5,000. You have fish, you have bread, you have the abundance of God again and again being shown. Again and again and again. So whatever we take from that number, right, it is indicated to show us that we see something anew, that we experience God's abundance in a new way. Which leads me to today. As I kept sitting with this number, I kept thinking, for each and every one of us, what has been that moment for you in your lived experience, your 153 fish moment? What has been that moment for you when maybe you've been in despair, maybe you've been overwhelmed, maybe you've been exhausted, you try something else, and then all of a sudden you realize the abundance that is there that provides? I can remember being an undergrad, and I took several semesters of ceramics. I threw a lot on the wheel. I would sat and make pots. Yes, it did freak my parents out when I said I was in college and I was going to take ceramics. But by that point, I was already an art major, so they were okay with it. But I can remember trying to make pitchers one week, right? Or one semester. I tried to make pitcher after pitcher. And they were all bad. They were all really self-conscious. They were all sort of awkward, right? And finally, I hit a point when I was like, I give up. Like, I quit. And then I would sort of let that energy, that freedom kind of go into it. And I just started pulling these pots, just started making these pots. And wouldn't you know, they were so much better. And actually, two of those pots every week right now I use in worship at every table. These pots that I made in 2001. The ones that I was like, I don't have energy left. Every week when I pour communion, I get that reminder. Every week when I pour water, I get that reminder. So what about for you? Where were those points? Where were those points when you saw that God would provide, that God was providing, that God had been providing all along? As I sat with that question, particularly thinking about this community as a whole, where have been the points in time when this community has seen the abundance of God show up? And then I started thinking, what if this is the 153 fish moment? What if this is that moment in the life of this community? Folks are weary, been fishing a long time. You've had many, many, many nets full of fish over many, many years of really beautiful ministry. And yet lately, it's tiring. The world's in chaos. Everything feels upturned. Folks feel scared and alone. That's big picture wise. And then here we are at Westminster Presbyterian Church, trying to figure out how to make it through, trying to do our best to be faithful, to love one another, and to love God, and to live into whatever that means to following Jesus. And still, it's uncertain. It feels like all we've got is empty nets. All we've got is empty nets. Friends, I will tell you again and again and again and again and again and again, God's abundance provides. We don't always know what that suggestion may be to toss the net to the other side of the boat. But the only way we're going to find that is if we continue to stay in conversation with one another. If we give ourselves the opportunity to have fun together, to relax together, to breathe together, to know and to trust that the church, the living, breathing body of Christ within and among all of us, is not actually dependent upon the institution. It is not dependent upon the institution. Our role is to serve the church, to celebrate the abundance of God within and among all of us. And what I have found is that as I learn to lean into that energy, that what happens with the institution begins to take form in a whole new and beautiful way. But it's scary. It's uncertain. So maybe for us right now, we're at a place where we've already got some of those ideas doing. Or maybe we're still on this side of the boat, waiting for that voice that says, toss it to the other side of the boat. But I think that voice has already been saying it. I think our invitation is just to learn how to hear that voice as it speaks. How do we hear that voice? Say it again and again and again. We spend time together, sharing meals. We spend time in solitude with the presence of God around us. And we trust that God is carrying us through that. It is a deep time for gut check after gut check, for faith in the movement of God in the midst of so much turmoil. Again and again. And I will tell you that it is easier to remember that God is moving in and through all of us and all of this if we can remind one another of that. Which means that we can ask each other to say, I need you to remind me I'm going to be okay. I need you to remind me that I'm going to be okay. Friends, I am telling you, you're going to be okay. We are going to be okay. Westminster Presbyterian Church is going to be so amazing that you're going to look at this time and say, oh my gosh, we were so scared to throw the net to the other side of the boat, but then we did. And oh my gosh, look at the abundance that God has provided. You're doing such a great job. There is so much faithfulness here. I want to encourage you as much as I can. To remind you as much as I can that God is providing. Not God will provide. Yes, God will provide. God is providing and will continue to provide. I guarantee it. Amen.